You are listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight, episode number 53 for May 2010.
Episode of the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, the premier spot to find all things of Green Lantern related news and trivia. I'm your host, Frankie Mateo, and joining me are Brandon West, the co-webmaster of the speedster site, DapperHoboards.com. Also, we have Kuhan, the creator of the Real View Mirror podcast. We also have the ever-present Newsard, as well as Eric. And and Andrew NDB, our sponsor and our gracious host.
All right. One thing I think we should talk about is the fact that Green Lantern is kind of spamming the DC Universe. And I think one of the discussions that we've had as podcast members and, you know, it's just what should we be covering exactly? Green Lantern shows up in Legion of Superheroes. He showed up in Wonder Woman last year. He showed up in Wonder Woman last week. He showed up in Rebels. Legion of Superheroes seems to be a significant storyline. Should we be talking about that? Brightest Day is written by the writers of the Green Lantern titles and ties in because it's got a White Lantern in every issue. Should we be talking about that?
Hey, slow down a bit. Going too fast.
That's what she said.
anyway.
That's what she said.
She was paying attention, so I don't know what her problem was. But anyway, so I don't know. What do you guys think? One thing I do think is interesting is how DC is kind of screwing us and making us buy Brightest Day. At least Brightest Day number one, which had six pages that could have been crammed anywhere into that Green Lantern issue to kind of wrap that story up where Hal tries to lift the White Lantern out.
They're making you buy it? Did the DC ninjas just show up at your house and start beating you with the crowbars?
Well, I think they get mad when I don't buy it, I think. What do we think about the concept of the White Lantern anyway, being like King Arthur type thing? I think it's kind of cool. I just don't think it was necessary for them to kind of point out that it was a King Arthur kind of thing.
Yeah, right? Like, hey guys, by the way, the White Lantern is King Arthur, just so you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if they didn't do it, people would be like, you guys suck, but, you know.
I think actually making the King Arthur ring construct was a bit much.
Yeah, right? I think instead of Excalibur, they should have said Excelsior.
You know, I think it's interesting is that it seems really specific, but Sinestro was going to kill those cops with a car. Okay, sure, I guess, but seems a bit extreme. But then Hal Jordan, as opposed to just stopping it, creates a clever construct. And this is one of the problems that I always feel like there is in the Green Lantern comics. Like, Neon is going to smash a meteorite into Earth, and Kyle doesn't just stop him. He makes 45 mechs to stop him with very ornate designs and stuff like that. And Hal Jordan's the same way. It seems like they're – I mean, everybody kind of complained in the Justice League cartoon with Jon Stewart was like, just throwing rings at people and balls, but it did seem more effective than, you know, creating a picture of his ex-girlfriend with the...
He was literally shooting laser blasts and making bubbles. That was it.
That's fine.
First of all, I don't think Sinestro was going to kill the officer. I think it was just a fear tactic, first of all. Second of all, I find it hilarious that...
Killing me, she's going to hit him with a car.
Death is scary.
No, I think it was just scary. Like, I don't think he was going to actually hit them with the car. And then the other thing I find funny, that Hal smashes the car, and you can see, like, you can see yellow shrapnel. Like, seriously?
Like,
just willed the construct to create shrapnel after he got hit?
Like, yeah, like, this is going to get hit by the construct shrapnel.
I mean, is there any... What did everybody feel about Brightest Day? Is everybody reading Brightest Day?
Reading Brightest Day?
I'm reading it. Yeah, I'm rather liking it, too. I mean...
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, I feel like it's like 52 in Countdown. Well, Countdown was terrible, but at least it had, like, three or four storylines that were interesting for the most part. And yeah. 52 is the same way.
It's like that, but it's like it takes the Countdown thing of trying to be the spine of the DCU at the same time. Like, everything's tied into everything, you know.
But at least it's not, saying, hey, guys, we're going into real time, but also here, this is Countdown 53 and this is Countdown 42, except yes, it's within 10 minutes.
We're in real time, except for when we're not.
Yeah. Well, it's the Hawk People storyline I could do without. It's boring as shit. I don't want them in my comic. Every time they open their mouths, they say like 45 billion words. It's boring. It's not interesting. And, you know, I just don't like it. I like
because this is all Hawk exposition because nobody knows anything about the Hawks.
Which is killing. Like, apparently this is why, because they're terrible and ugly.
Like, I mean, that's the name of the game here, though, is to kind of build up the Hawks and build up the Martian Manhunter and build up Aquaman again and then go launch their own rebirth stories or whatever they're going to do after this.
Yeah. As someone who's a fan of Aquaman, I do appreciate the kind of, like, pimping that Aquaman's getting. You know, how, you know, his head is bulletproof, apparently.
That's a new thing, right?
Or did my... He was never bulletproof. I believe it deflected. He was bulletproof. I don't think it was a straight shot. He was bulletproof?
Yes.
Yes.
Like straight out?
Yes.
Because it makes sense that he would be, really, if you think about it, because guaranteed the pressure of density are strong.
Yeah, the pressure of, right.
Well, that's appreciable, and I appreciate... I don't like that, you know, we said this when we talked about the last issue, I don't really like that they're kind of over the fact that his son, who, you know, it wasn't just like...
Yeah, that's son. Bullshit. That's bullshit.
It's like his 25-year-old. He knew the guy for 25 years, like, raised him, you know, and
Was that in Zero, where they talked about that for, like, a bit second?
She's like, just...
For one panel.
Yeah. And now they haven't even mentioned it again.
I'm really bummed about Tempest. And it's like, oh, no, he's happier. He's with Tula. Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
Well, to be fair, if he was...
Let's talk about me again.
To be fair, he was post-sex. He would have said anything at that point.
Yeah,
he's like,
what? I'm sorry.
He's happier dead. I don't think he's anything dead. I mean, he's just dead, you know. But I mean, I think the whole idea of him bringing dead things to life, it would be cool if it was his own isolated story. But even with the bits where they have when John Jones has some kind of weird flashback and turns into a zombie for a second, I mean, obviously they're tying in this whole Black Lantern thing is still around. And I think the Jason Rush stuff really bothers me because I think they're trying to play up that Ronnie Raymond is kind of like a prick. And but like a likable prick, like a Van Wilder type prick. But he just seems like a prick. I mean, he turned the guy's girlfriend to salt, and he went out and got laid the next day. It's kind of like, I don't really like
him. His fault?
Huh? It's like, oh, it wasn't me. Don't worry about that.
The salt wasn't his fault, but the fact that the next day, instead of sitting here like, oh, dude, I'm sorry,
yeah,
like, I didn't mean to, he's out all night partying.
And it's not just him. It's like fucking Hawk. I mean, yeah, I get that his whole shtick is that he's like an asshole, and that's his whole thing. But it's like, fuck, I mean, you're responsible for the deaths of like millions and billions of people. And it's not even that I expect like other people's reactions to him to bother him, but like, wouldn't he kind of be bothered with that like legacy? I mean, just in himself?
Since he isn't, doesn't that make him a bigger dick, you know? That's
yeah,
like
that. Exactly.
Captain Atom was Monarch in Countdown. Did
yep,
kill
that too. That too. Fuck.
And he at least felt a little bad about it, but he's like, you know what? No, I defeated a woman in order to be put into a rape dungeon by Mordru, so now I feel better about everything. I'm going to fly to France and be a good guy again. You know, I mean, that's not – it's and not that the heroes all have to be great guys and stuff like that, but to be deliberately pricks, it bothers the shit out of me. I don't – you know, fuck you. You fucking turn my girlfriend to salt, you asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway. But
I think you're overreacting on the Firestorm too.
Oh, I don't think so.
I mean, Ronnie's a dick. Let him be a dick. If that's what they're going for. I mean, how else are these people going to coexist?
Yeah. Brandon really relates to Ronnie.
Yeah.
He's killed plenty of girlfriends in his day. That was
turned
terrible.
A lot of girlfriends.
A real lady killer, that one.
He turned a lot of girls to salt and then used that as part of the tequila shots the next day. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What a murderer.
It's not the Ronnie part of the Firestorm, I guess, combo that makes it so terrible. It's the fact that they're a combo. It's like Firestorm shouldn't be at the front and center of anything. And that's whether it's Jason or Ronnie. Like, I'm not going to ever care about the character Firestorm. Like, I think that's an incredible ability, but I'm never going to care about that guy. He has fire at the top of his fucking head.
Yeah, but you can't blame him for trying. I mean, whatever. I'm not going to be a
Firestorm. I can if it's bad.
We didn't even get to some of the other characters like Maxwell Lord coming back. I mean, you kind of expect him to be a dick.
Well, I'm not following into Generation Loss. I think one of the things as a podcast we probably shouldn't do is follow into Generation Loss because I don't think that's going to really – unless they do plan on tying them over, but that would be a bit too much for me.
Maybe Guy Clark will show up.
You know, I think in the end it'll tie into things a little bit. I mean, I think all the people that came back are going to kind of regroup in Brightest Day and do whatever. I mean, but apart from that, no, probably not too much going on there.
Yeah. No, you know, it gets to a general point. that we talked about before, and he was defensive of it. The idea that DC, you know, does in general have cheaper comics, and they do have some, more of them have backup than like their competitor or whatever. But in all fairness, I mean, they're requiring us to kind of buy so many comics to really follow what's going on, you know? I mean, that's why I really appreciate what they did with the Supermans, where they did tie them all in for a year. Then they put them all on suspension for a couple, like a month or so they can do this big crossover and stuff. And this Green Lantern thing, and that was our biggest complaint coming out of Blackest Night, that we had to buy so many friggin' tie-ins, then bullying it to Brightest Day, now we have to buy even more tie-ins, you know?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, at least there's not as many tie-ins, it seems.
You know, what's the biggest thing about Brightest Day is that Brightest Day, they could take the 6 pages they devote to every character, and over a period of like 10 months, put those 6 pages together and get like one issue, you know, out of each character, and yet we're buying like 20 issues, you know, so it's kind of a racket. But I mean, that's just the whole point of these things, right?
It's like a lot of these books.
Well, that's kind of the way their marketing machine is working now. Like you were saying earlier, like they want us to buy everything, and you have to read everything to understand anything, and to get your Firestorm fix or Aquaman fix or. Resolution to a plot line from Green Lantern. You got to pick up Brightest Day number 2 or 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Really, most of the tie-ins though aren't even really tie-ins. They just Brightest Day word on top. And the thing is, it's confusing because like I was on the forum the other day. Like it's not confusing to me because you know like us we're nerds. But like I was on the forum the other day and there's this guy who was like, okay, wait, now I have Blackest Night Flash and then Brightest Day Flash. How do I sort this? I'm like, well, that's not Brightest Day Flash. That's just Flash. It's like, but then I have this Flash number one. Like, and they're like, no, that's Secret Files and Origins. It's like, oh, well, where do I put that in my box?
And so, yeah, I can't tell you how many people have. I mean, really, DC is catering to an audience that's already buying comics. And I think the best example is you can segue into it. Legion of Superheroes number one. Legion of Superheroes number one was maybe the worst first issue I've read in a really long time. I mean, it was completely catering to at least 50, 60,000 storylines that had gone right before it. It's presupposing all this knowledge of the Legion of Superheroes, which is obviously the gimmick they're going for. But
which
I mean,
most
as
people
it is, people
don't
always,
have. Like, even,
no,
even
the gimmick they're going for is, oh, look, a Green Lantern ring. Come on, Green Lantern fans, come read this.
Well, also, they had that storyline. They had the storyline with Earthman coming out of the Superman and Legion of Superheroes storyline. They had, the stuff that was going on in Legion of Three Worlds, for God's sakes. Like, anybody wants to remember that happened, you know? And the backups that were going on Adventure Comics. And it's like, anybody who read that issue, if you take someone to a book, comic book store and somebody's never been there before and they're going to buy floppies, they're going to buy, you know, first issues, you know, and you get something, you're like, oh, that's it says Blackest Night Flash number one. I guess I'll pick this up. I've heard about this Blackest Night event, not knowing that they're being completely shafted, you know, buying, like, the sloppy thirds of you know, what's going on in the situation, you know. They're just basically cleaning the bedsheets of the crossover, you know. But that's kind of the gimmick, right? I mean, that's a trick, like, to get someone to come see number one.
You say that about Legion, that, you know, somebody can't just walk in. I bet you a comic fan couldn't walk in and read Legion of Superheroes if it's presupposing knowledge, because nobody knows jack shit about Legion of Superheroes.
Even Legion of Superheroes fans don't know what's going on.
Right,
they don't know what's canon and what's not anymore.
They don't clarify
exactly
a lot of stuff.
You could 60% of just comic people.
It's the most,
like,
it's the most toxic thing. The most toxic thing on stands is hands down the Legion of Superheroes.
It was so deliciously toxic.
Getting into something, I think, to valid point. Think about something like Karate Kid from Countdown. You know, he was supposed to be from the original Legion's timeline. The original Legion's timeline, unless I'm mistaken, Karate Kid was killed. So he's obviously from a separate Legion's timeline. So what we're dealing with now, we're dealing with the original Legion's timeline, slightly modified due to all the crises and stuff like that. So the slight modification is that the Karate Kid story didn't happen, or that it did happen. I mean, you know, you get into too much confusing shit, you know.
Well, this particular actual pre-crisis story, like with the old Legion, it seems to be taking place almost like it's before the Great Darkness Saga, because the twins haven't been taken away and one hasn't been turned into Validus.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, and then they're going to reference Darkness Saga eventually, I'm sure, you know. And,
issue 4, actually.
Yeah, because it's the most popular.
I think the most important thing that we should talk about is the fact that these Colgate ads that are now pullouts are really annoying.
Yes,
I just yanked those fucking things out. Throw them away.
And it was also referenced in Booster as well.
You know, it wasn't so bad when it was a double-page spread in the middle. Like, it was kind of annoying, but now that they're little pullouts, it is so annoying.
Well, you know, and on something else also about something that's annoying about Legion of Superheroes is the very last page. I mean, that the bottom, the blurb panel for the next issue is like, you know, a quarter of the page, and it says, and join us next issue, and in this other series that you probably don't want to read, you know, like, it's like, oh, I don't want to read that. And first off, the cover is as Andrew said, is condescending. It's very much so like, it's a Green Lantern comic, and it's like, this is not a Green Lantern comic. You know, it doesn't even say Brightest Day on it. You know?
Come over here, fans of Green Lantern and Blackest Night fans. Come read this. Yeah. Read this Legion shit.
And again, first issue, it says it on the cover. All New Era Begins. It's not an All New Era. This is actually part, like, five of
it's anything but.
Welcome back to the 80s.
Yeah. Welcome back to that storyline you really didn't have any, you had a lot of trouble with earlier this month, you know, like, I mean, what was it people's biggest complaint about the Superman storylines and how they concluded with Brainiac, that the Legion was involved, and they're like, well, fuck it, now you're getting twice as much Legion, you dumb bastards, you know?
I mean, some of us might want to read Legion stories, you ever think about that?
Listen, no, I appreciate the Legion, I just don't appreciate getting fucked in the mouth when I'm trying to read something, you know what I mean? Just, I mean,
that's the other thing. That's the other thing. Like if Legion is something that nobody understands, not even Legion fans understand Legion, why are they going to have two Legion books?
And especially considering that they're both tied into something that's so confusing enough as it is. I don't even know what to say. Everybody knows Legion comics are going to get canceled. They all know they're going to get canceled. Everyone knows it's going to get canceled.
And I know it's going to get canceled.
They know it's going to get canceled, or it's going to get radically retooled, or revamped, or rebooted. One of those three things. And
guys,
it's a mathematical certainty at this point.
There's only been four comics DC's ever put up that haven't been canceled at one point or another.
No, that's true to a certain extent, but we're not talking about. We're talking about a very specific. I mean, MU.
It's even worse. We're talking about rebooting, like restarting everything. I mean, over and over again.
The future does change.
Listen, Legion's going to get canceled, and then in 10 years.
So why would you want to read that? Why would you want to read something that's going to change every fucking couple of years? Why would you do that to yourself?
Legion's going
to
get canceled, and then when Mew becomes a writer at DC, he's going to write a new Legion reboot, which is just going to go back to the original Legion, and then someone's going to screw that up, and then someone else is going to start writing Legion.
I want to see them cancel their longest running title, right? And then 6 years later, do an issue number one of that title and have it act as if it's the next issue in the series. Like, leave everything cliffhanger and only resolve in that issue. And then on every page in between the panels where the little white spaces are, write fuck you over and over and over and over.
that's a technical thing.
I mean, that's what they're going towards. They're going towards a big, straight-up, honest fuck you. I mean, getting back into the Green Lantern swing of things, though. Can we talk about the idea that we as Green Lantern fans, do we like the idea that this fucking shit is now all over our orgy? Like, do we want the same face in every time we're whacking off here? I mean, what do we
in Legion?
In everything.
I could give two shits about Legion, but if I saw, like, say, Jon Stewart and Streets of Gotham, which has happened before, I'd be more willing to accept it. Maybe
it
not.
Has?
When?
Oh, I'll buy that thing.
Yeah, well, tell me that issue. I'll buy it.
It was somewhere in, like, before or after Heart of Hush, something like that. I'll let you know after the show. Thanks for ruining my train of thought.
You have trains of thought?
Yeah.
You think?
It's not our fault your trains of thought are so weak they can't hold up to slight scrutiny.
Anyway, I'm more comfortable with seeing the Wonder Woman cameos with lanterns we haven't seen before, or the Rebels, for instance, where it makes more sense as a concept showing up. But I don't want to see what's her name, Boudica or Boudica, whatever she wants to call herself. I don't want to see her popping up in Titans or Isamat popping up in Deathstroke's shit.
You know, actually, that's an interesting point, because one thing we got to talk about is Wonder Woman had a storyline with I forget what the freaking guy's name is, and now they're doing the sequel to it in her storyline. But with the Green Lantern who was defending the guy who's going to obliterate the Kuns, and it was like a 2-3 issue storyline, and it was one of the better Green Lantern storylines I've read in like a long time, and it kind of felt like a Green Lantern quarterly storyline. You know,
one of
like
the better Wonder Woman stories in the volume too.
Yeah. Absolutely, but, you know, and it felt like one of those stories that they got a good writer to write, like, 6 pages, write about any kind of Green Lantern you want, and you get cool shit like the Bell Lantern and stuff like that. I mean, that's what it felt like, you know, and it felt, even you get bad shit like, you know, the Lobo story and stuff. But, you know, I mean, it felt like that, and it was cool, and as a podcast for Green Lantern, I mean, we generally obviously are going to focus on the fact that there's two Green Lantern titles coming up on three that are shaping the DC universe in a general sense, and also, obviously, the headliners for the GL franchise, but, I mean, is that a detriment that we're not focusing on things like Rebels? Rebels just had an issue where they had a couple of Green Lanterns, and you know, that if they pop up, if Boudica does show up in Titans, you know, and all of a sudden it's a really good Titan story, should we ignore it? Because fuck it, who cares what Boudica's doing? She doesn't have a White Lantern in her hand, you know?
I think as fans, White Lantern, we can't.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, as fans, we can't ignore it. Thanks.
Yeah.
But as podcasters and Green Lantern fanatics, we're gonna ignore it on a subconscious level. That who gives a shit if Jon Stewart is fucking around in Gotham?
I feel like it should be the other way around. But
you know, I think
it should be right. Right. It should be
exactly. I think that's kind of like one of the things we should talk about, because that's where comics are at now. Because we're talking about the fact that DC makes us buy a reissue. We're more focused on what's going to happen next in the larger story than we are appreciating the stories as they happen. You know, and
then again, are we going to buy Legion? Did anybody buy Legion of Superheroes just because there was a Green Lantern ring on it?
No, I wanted to read Legion.
No, exactly. So is it working? Did you pick up Wonder Woman because you saw that there was two Green Lanterns on the cover? No, you were all green Wonder Woman. Did you pick up?
No, I actually have to say yes.
To be fair, yes, I did
get an exception.
I got a Taco Bell kids milk because I saw Green Lantern.
I'm
not even joking.
Sales will pick up because there's a Green Lantern on the cover, so it is increasing visibility.
I feel embarrassed for them because it's like you just know that they're putting this umbilical cord of the Green Lantern and the Superman mythos and everything around Legion just to prop it up, just because they know otherwise it's going to fucking crumble like a house of cards.
I mean, didn't they used to do good like 30 years back or something like that?
Green Lantern is the Batman of 10 years of the last 50 years, and he's
Is that hypocrisy? It sounds like hypocrisy. How is it that
he's more like the Wolverine of now, or Deadpool, really?
Deadpool. How can we blame DC for throwing Green Lantern into every comic and then claim that those comics are better quality?
Like, I don't mind them throwing them another. It's just the using them as a marketing tool, just using them just to.
That's a bad thing? What? Is this not a business?
No, I mean, but in point in fact is we're not appreciating it for the business sense. If DC sells 50,000 copies of Green Lantern, it's only good for me, or 50 million copies of Green Lantern, it's only good for me if I like Green Lantern, because then I'll definitely get a second issue.
Is it any better or worse than the one time Obama showed up in Spider-Man?
It's worse than that, yeah, because, I mean, we're talking about the difference being the Obama storyline. You know, Marvel Comics has a history of kind of dealing with, like, major political events like that, you know, but what we're talking about is then Obama shows up in every other comic after that, then that's what we're talking about. I mean, Green Lantern, I think it's one of those things where we are, as podcasters and as fans, we respect it for the art. And whether DC likes it or not, if the comics are better, they are going to sell. Despite the fact that everybody says, oh, you know what, so many good comics like Paul Cornell's Captain Britain and MI3 is vanishing, and Rebels is so good and it's vanishing and shit like that. I mean, it's really it's the exception of the rule. And in all fairness, the way DC pushes shit, yeah, if you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on the guys who draw Batman a month, you're going to get people reading Batman, you know. But if you take – yes, it does seem like a waste of money to put somebody like Grant Morrison on a Wonder Woman, because the sales aren't going to be that good. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about you're sacrificing art for the sake of the dollar, and DC's losing sales. So whatever they're doing isn't working, and this cross-promotional marketing thing. I mean, what's next? Foil covers? I mean, I'm surprised we haven't seen foil covers yet. You know, I mean, that's what we're getting to. We're getting back to the 90s where everything's about, like, you know, selling an issue by issue. It's making sure we print thousands of copies of this so that thousands of copies will sell, you know, as opposed to what they should be thinking about is a business structure and business strategy, you know, because they're not. It's like they're jerking off on a street corner as opposed to running a brothel, you know.
I think
– well put.
What's wrong with foil covers?
Don't you know anything about trading cards? Foil is the shit.
Well, I like Spider-Man 2099 number one. Is like one of my favorite comics ever, and that has an awesome foil cover. So I am a hypocrite, but also the issue where Spider-Man gets a web armor for 3 panels, and they had a foil cover for that. I have that, and that's one of the worst comics ever. So I feel like I'm not that much of a hypocrite.
So what do we say if Brightest Day continues on slowly paced, just like Countdown was at the start, just like 52 was at the start,
right?
And it has little to no relevance directly to Green Lantern. And the only thing that comes close to it is Dead Man and his white ring. Do we justify that by saying, oh, down the line it'll pick up, down the line it'll become more relevant?
Do we have to?
Oh, no. I mean, at a certain point you go, no, fuck it, this is ridiculous. But for now, yeah. It's issue number fucking two.
Yeah. Yeah, I think now we are the storyline is directly tied in, and you got to think about the way that Geoff Johns writes his stuff. Well, we did have after Sinestro Corps, we had 2 years of very, very insanely slow buildup where almost nothing happened to Blackest Night. You know, and every single storyline, every single Green Lantern issue written by Geoff Johns, every single issue of anything written by Geoff Johns in the interim besides the Superman stuff was tying into Blackest Night. So it's very possible that Brightest Day will eventually end in an even bigger event, you know, that if we didn't read Brightest Day, we're going to have to all go back and find the 26 issues and read it again just to follow what's going on.
Well, we already know that Flashpoint is the next big DC event.
But isn't that happening in a couple – that's only happening in 6 months and – Price Day won't be over by then. Then another 6 months.
No. It's May 2011. I think
it's next year.
It's a year from. I think it's a year from now.
Oh yeah. That's something else too. In that Legion issue, they mentioned Flashpoint. I thought that was pretty condescending.
Did they? Oh god.
Yeah, they talk about it being one of the great events.
Really, it was really kind of an offhanded mention.
It was actually they mentioned it like 6 times on 3 pages, so it wasn't offhanded.
Jeff's hands are on everything.
It was like they went to the Flashpoint Museum and they saw everything that happened.
Yeah, I only know how Flashpoint ends. Let's go see how it began. Okay, like no, let's look at the beginning of the universe. Okay,
and they even mentioned it takes place in 2011. So I don't know why DC's. I mean, they could always say it's the future, so they lost track of dates. But
did anyone else get paused when they saw the creation of the universe and they said the energies coalesce at a spot that would later be the coordinates for Planet Oa?
I actually, yeah.
Well, to be fair, the way you could see that one is that's what they were told because they just know it by history, right?
Well, I just think that was Paul Levitt's. Maybe the hatred I had of the center of the universe being established by DC kind of flattened out there and tried to explain in some kind of quasi-scientific way as to why. But that still doesn't make any sense because it wouldn't be the center of the universe because if Krona has something in his hand that's becoming the universe, that's the entire universe. So there's no – it wouldn't be a singular point that it would be exploding at. So just – again, this is still bad science.
Can we rewind for just a quick second? What exactly was said with Oa and coordinates?
Oh, since you haven't read the issue, the Legion Superheroes issue, the plot of the storyline is that these guys created a time machine where they can view any point in time, and they view the creation of the universe. And because they do that, as happens in every single DC story, as soon as they view that, a bunch of fucked up shit happens. And when it happens, the guy says, oh, this must be where Oa was made because this is the center of the universe.
Didn't you hear the legend about what happens if you view this beginning of time? It's like, oh, that's just legend. We're men of science.
Yeah, well, it doesn't even have to be that technical.
The characters in there obviously haven't read Blackest Night.
They're like, we're only interested in Flashpoint. Blackest Night was disappointing. Yeah. Like, forget about DC's last event, you stupid readers. The next event will be even better.
Yeah. They go back to check out Siege.
Yeah, yes, well. I'm not gonna talk about that, but yes.
I'm not gonna talk about that, but yeah.
Because there's actually, I do want to talk about moments in disgusting writing. When Sodom Yad is crying on Legion because something sad happened. When his tear touches the planet explodes, and then Diogene comes out and starts saying a bunch of shit. And then Sodom Yad says specifically, "Yo, is the planet crying like me?" And then the ring spends like 2 bubbles explaining to him, "No, it's totally coincidence." Which is silly because why would you create an artful – I mean, first off, it's corny, but why would you create an artful thing that gets energy because of it and then be as technical as possible explaining, no, readers, if you think that's corny, it totally didn't actually happen on the same fucking page. You know, I mean, it's just – it's poor writing. This is a poorly written issue.
You're a poorly written issue.
That's what she said, right? No, that's not even –
Well, I actually thought this would be kind of fun.
I mean, has Diogene been in Green Lantern history before?
That feels creepy.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
No, I don't think so.
Because it looks so goddamn familiar.
I think that's what happens when Owen has an abortion.
Yeah, maybe it's just the afterbirth I had or something, yeah.
So Mio, you're like one of the only guys here who reads the Rebels issues, and you tried to get all of us into it. What'd you think about that issue?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I mean, a lot of it is set up for, like, the Legion itself, like how they rebuild a planet where Tamaran was, which gets Starfire's attention, and... As it turns out, we in the way of Green Lanterns, we get to see that we get 2 new Green Lanterns, a son of the warlord of Okarin and a female Scion. And they almost immediately go to war with Legion because they get attacked in the middle of patrolling their sector. It took them, what, 20 minutes with Legion back up before there's already shit going down? It doesn't seem good, at least not for either side.
Well, does it seem like a valid title to follow in terms of is there going to be a lot of Green Lantern content? Or did it feel like kind of tacked on shit?
It feels like a start. That's what it feels like. It feels like it's a small little introduction to the situation that's going to come up periodically. because he even mentioned it in the interview that it was his intent to like focus on the Legion slash Green Lantern crossover stuff in Rebels, so he wouldn't interfere too much with the ongoing Green Lantern Corps title that he was just starting.
Yeah, because he's writing both those now, right? Yeah.
Yes, he's writing both.
Well, I remember back in Blackest Night when Real Drox got real – oh, fuck that guy's name. Syphilis got the Sinestro Corps ring. And we were all like, you know what would be cool, which is never going to happen, if he kept the ring. If he kept the ring. We're all like, he should keep the ring. And it's one of those things where it's kind of like that does go against what we're saying. Like everything shouldn't be Green Lantern. But, I mean, you know, would that help a title like that if they took advantage of a concept? I mean, in all fairness, you know, we do have Starfire on that team, and I mean, fuck if that isn't some kind of promotional thing, you know, and even Real Drox himself, we don't need this. I mean, you're a brand new title with mostly brand new characters. You are throwing old guys in there. Why not throw old concepts in there, you know? If there was a Green Lantern member of the team of Rebels, do we all think that would be, do you think that would not help it? I mean, what do we think about that?
Wouldn't that go against the concept of the team? Don't they hate Green Lanterns?
Well, I mean, all right, then not a Green Lantern, then well, technically no, because Green Lanterns really only – the only reason Green Lanterns are accepted as the law of the universe is because they say so and because they have a bigger stick than everybody. So there's no reason to assume that a Green Lantern wouldn't be able to profit off of it. I mean,
if Jackie Chan wasn't dead, I could see him joining Rebels.
Well, there you go. We're talking about a Green Lantern concept that nobody ever explores. Like, why don't these guys take advantage of their situation in a good way? Like, not slaughter planets and get away with it for decades like Sinestro did, but shit like legitimately like, yo, I saved your life, can I borrow $20? You know, I mean, why don't we see one? Right?
that was real thing. He created an alternate to the Green Lantern Corps, but he profits from it.
Exactly. So, I mean, Mew is a fan of the series. I mean, obviously, what would you think if they added a Green Lantern regular cast member? Or if they just fucking let Syphilis keep the Sinestro?
Syphilis.
I actually think that would have been a cool concept. I mean, there's a lot of things that a person with the intelligence of a Brainiac could do with such a weapon. I mean, but then again, it also kind of partially goes against one of the appeals of the character is that he doesn't need powers to destroy you. He's got his mind and his trickery. He's a deceptive prick who uses people. And that's why he's so damn awesome.
It's a valid point. I mean, I, for one, I say that, you know, I think we should focus on Brightest Day because of how related it is right now, even if it doesn't seem that related. And then if it does start to taper off, we can piss and moan about it for a whole episode and then not listen to it ever again. I mean, not read it ever again for the podcast and stuff.
But, where do you guys stand as far as the Rebels, Legion, Streets of Gotham, for instance, those
what
issues?
What issue was that anyways?
I've still got to look for it. Like, again, with the train of thought thing, man.
My thing is, I think if a Green Lantern issue comes out, I think we should all be aware of it. We should all try to read it. And I think we should talk about it on the podcast in general, and then we should really talk about it if it's something good. If it's just some shit where some Green Lantern shows up and gets exploded and it sucks, then we shouldn't talk about it. But if it's something like the Wonder Woman issue where they had that really cool bit where the Green Lantern, what's it called, died, and he said initiate prayer or something like that, that was awesome. I mean, that's something we really should talk about because that's really taking advantage of the concept of the Green Lanterns, you know. Though I do want to say I don't condone buying an overabundance of DC titles because of something horrible they did last week. I don't think I know it's not exactly relevant, but I do want to complain about them killing Ryan Choi. I mean, there, you know, some guy at Comic Alliance, Chris Sims, I think it was, did a whole article about how DC is accidentally becoming racist and regressive in its politics because of bringing back all these Silver Age white conservative guys. And they're not necessarily saying, well, fuck all darkies or something like that, but they are kind of like submissively saying it and subconsciously kind of promoting this idea of white.
That's not true. Jeff Johns has the utmost respect for Jon Stewart.
Always been on black and everything? Yeah. I mean, you can always say Mr. Terrific. Mr. Terrific is probably the most prolific.
Past year 57.
Huh? You can always say Mr. Terrific is a good example of a black character that's black and doesn't always talk about being black. And Jeff, what's it called? Jeff Johns even had him mentioned way back in Infinite Crisis specifically that he doesn't call himself black, and then he's kind of annoyed that black guys all call themselves black and why Black Lightning calls himself black and blah, 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 blah. I say black a lot in that sense. The argument is that Ryan Choi was the example that the specific article used about a character who was a good character, his own thing. He was DC. He fit DC's criteria where he was an existing franchise that can milk. he actually, more people have probably, more people nowadays are familiar with Ryan Choi because of the high-rated Batman Brave and the Bold show where he consistently appears, and yet they brought back Ray Palmer. They need to kill him, and they killed him anyway, you know, and that's, it's just one of those things. I mean, how come everything, and who else died, who's the other major death to die this year? Half-Agent, right? I mean, isn't Roy Harper's kid wasn't she, what's
Leon Harper.
Leon Harper, yeah.
Yeah, Leon Harper, you know, and she was of mixed ethnicity, and it's like, yeah, fuck her too, you know, I mean, as much as it's like, well, they kill white people all the time.
They killed Cheshire too, didn't they?
I think Batgirl was replaced by a white girl too.
No, she's not dead yet, is she?
Cheshire?
Not dead, but...
No, Cheshire's one of the people that killed Ryan Choi. So it's almost like they were like, what's going on, buddy?
I'm confused.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she just died, like, this week or something.
I heard she died in Titans 6, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Cheshire died?
That's what I heard.
Yes.
Wasn't she in the Titans special? Isn't she one of the people?
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
That was last week.
That issue, though.
And she's appearing in the
Fall of Roy Harper.
Arsenal. Yeah.
And I think you're right that Batgirl was replaced by a white girl. And, you know, obviously, you know, certain things like that. And Wally is someone who is progressive politics, was replaced by Barry Allen and stuff. And, you know.
She hasn't been progressive since the fucking 80s.
Well, in all fairness, that's not necessarily true because Wally had progressive politics when Wade was writing him and stuff, but he wasn't specifically a political character since the 80s and stuff. But that was a deliberate breakaway from something like Barry Allen and stuff. So it's one of the things whenever every single time DC gets political, it always kind of gets offensive. You know, and you even talk about, I mean, come on, the women in refrigerator syndrome in Blackest Night. I mean, what the hell was happening the whole time? You know, Mary's whole character was downgraded to, like, you know, just some badass who wanted a man, you know, and friggin'. We had endless discussions about Wonder Woman being in love with Batman, which made no friggin' sense whatsoever, you know. And fucking, you know, one of the only other prominent black characters' girlfriend was turned to fucking salt in front of him, you know, which is just offensive on so many levels. Why couldn't they have turned him to salt? You know, why couldn't they have turned why couldn't they have turned the fucking Ray to salt? Who's fucking touching the Ray right now? He's a white guy who nobody cares about. You know, fuck that guy. You know, it's.
I said he was killed by zombie cowboys.
No, he's fine.
So what you're saying is that...
Oh, he exploded. I think he's fine since then.
What you're saying is that black guy from Green Arrow should go up to, like, Dan DiDio and be like, what have you ever done for the black people?
It's like, maybe you should reprint this issue so you know the fuck about
black
this.
Black skin, yeah. Actually. The black skin.
You know what I mean.
The black skin. Yeah, he does say the black skins, yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, DC just, I mean... That it's just insane to me. It's insane to me when I read that. It's insane. I mean, how do they?
No, it's not a race thing. It's a time thing.
It's a convenient, but it's coincidence, and I agree that it's a relative. I'm sure they're not just trying to kill all the non-whites and stuff like that. Just by coincidence, they happen to kill all the minorities.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, how do they not realize that it's going to look like that? You know?
Yeah. Exactly, and you know, come on. I mean, even in War
and
of the Super,
and then the white boy comment, you know.
Oh yeah, the fact that Ronnie Raymond gets all upset because he thinks someone calls him white boy, and he acts like, "What did you say? That's the most disgusting thing."
Remember,
yeah, white boy is the,
you know, yeah, like if he had said cracker, that would make that would be different.
Remember, it's that strength.
The
know,
important thing to remember was that neither of them said that. It was a third voice.
Don't want to talk about. The point is that Ronnie Raymond got so offended, and I almost feel like the week after Ryan Choi gets killed, and I'm sure they're getting a lot of shitstorm about their racism. They are. I'm giving it to them, if anything. That they have a character who get called white boy and get really offended by it. And it's like, who the fuck? First off, I've been called white boy a million fucking times and I've never gotten offended. I mean, what are you going to do? That's the worst thing they can think to call you. Get over yourself. You know, it's not
Jeff
a racial.
Jens is hip and cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. Yeah, he thinks that's a racial slur. He has no clue what's going on in culture. Honestly, even in War of the Superman, which is a storyline I like, and they do have positive female characters. Everybody's white, of course. But, Flamebird, the only married character to get killed so far are Allura and Flamebird, and obviously bad guys and stuff, and they're both women. Fuck it, you know, I mean, it's bad enough that every single woman in power becomes like Margaret Thatcher in comic books, like, you know, Ursa is obsessively devoted to Zod, and, you know, Allura is a fucking stone-cold asshole, you know, but the fact that they're all getting hosed left and right, I mean, I know it's likely that most Secretonians will be dead or in the Phantom Zone at the end of the storyline, but still, I mean, that's not the point. The point is DC should be a lot more careful about this shit. It's been... What is it, 20 years since Gail Simone started the Women Refrigerator Syndrome, and it hasn't changed, you know?
Well, maybe they didn't think about killing all these people. They didn't think about this situation when they were creating all these new characters, and all these new characters just happen to be minorities.
Well, they deliberately, I feel for a fact, and everybody says, oh, tokenism, I get so mad about it, but it's valid. I mean, they should have more minority characters. So I think, especially after Infinite Crisis, there was an explosion of minority characters, and I think it was deliberate. I think they had guys like Grant Morrison and Mark Waid and stuff, and Greg Rucka, who were the think tank of DC at the time, and they said, you know, fuck it. We're going to do a lot more minority characters. It's going to be lesbians. It's going to be homosexual men, black guys. There's going to be an Asian, I swear, who isn't good at math, you fucking assholes, you know? I mean, they did it all deliberately. So I think that they're killing off all these characters.
There's going to be a black guy who's really good at science.
We got two Asian superhero teams from 52.
Whoa.
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that.
Black people not good at science.
I know that doesn't happen. I just...
Yeah.
So I went to Taco Bell, and they had... it's really interesting, because that's another thing about the Green Lantern spamming everything, that they had four options. You could get the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, or the Green Lantern toy. It's not really a toy. It's like a little desk stand thing, and you get a little 3D poster. Anyways... So for the little kiddies, when they read it, it gives them a little bit of a history of the Green Lantern Corps. You know, armed with green power rings, the Green Lantern Corps exemplified courage and valor in every inhabited system across 3,600 sectors of space. But the greatest Green Lantern of all time is surely Hal Jordan of planet Earth. Anyways, so it talks about his past, and the last line of the biography is. The last paragraph is, unfortunately, tragedy hounded Hal Jordan from the day he accepted his power ring. His beloved Carol was transformed into the villainous Star Sapphire, compelling Hal and Carol to battle on numerous occasions. Sinestro escaped confinement and gained a yellow power ring that made him the Green Lantern's greatest enemy. Finally, an alien warlord named Mongul destroyed Hal's hometown, Coast City. And that's where his biography ends.
That's
finally,
a dark ending.
His family was murdered. Yeah. Thank the gods.
And then
just,
he got
just
and then,
like kids in his Happy Meal. His family was murdered. The end.
Well, some fucking kid is getting his daily requirement nutrients from Taco Bell. He's already got a lot more problems than the fact that he's not going to know what really happens to Green Lantern. But yeah.
and then the funniest thing is that it's like, you know, Green Lantern's ability to step forward is powering, which he must recharge every 24 hours. So it's stuck on the 24 hours, but it doesn't say anything about the yellow. So part of the powers are the old powers, and part of them are new? I'm not really sure about that.
It's a match.
I love this. His friendships with fellow leaguers the Flash and Green Arrow were almost as precious to Hal as his love for the beautiful aircraft tycoon Carol Ferris.
Precious.
Oh, man.
You know what, Ollie? I feel like there's only one word that can describe our relationship. Precious. Yeah. All those threesomes and drunken nights. Precious.
And then the front is it has the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern logo with the current Hal Jordan. It's ridiculous. And this is apparently for DC Comics 75th anniversary, which I think was actually last year. And it's made in China.
Actually, that's this year.
Is it this year? Okay. Let's see. It has his weapons. Oh yeah, it has Oath. And then it has his yellow weaknesses. Oh, yeah. It took Hal Jordan's unparalleled courage to prove that this limitation was really the result of fear and not just the color yellow.
Wow.
They're just mixing. Wait, they stop it. They stop it. They stop it. Coast City being destroyed.
Wait, it was his?
Yeah, Hal Jordan's unparalleled courage.
It was his?
Uh-huh.
It's fine. What else? Why not? Sure.
Yeah, he had to stop the villainous Kyle Rayner, who became Parallax, from destroying Coast City again.
Yeah, exactly.
That evil, dastardly Kyle Rayner.
And then when Superman was done giving him a handjob, he said, thank you to Hal Jordan. Yeah. Now you know how you can tell that Tomasi wrote the Martian Manhunter pages? Because they have that arbitrary exclamation that I was discussing.
So what time. Part of that fucking story was a retcon and what wasn't? Because I don't know shit about John.
That monster everything. That showed up.
Everything.
And everything else about a daughter.
Yeah, the scientist didn't have a daughter, and there wasn't a first guy. The original story, just he brought him, and then there was an accident, and the scientist died. What's actually funny, what's actually clever, is because Pete Tomasi uses the same dialogue the scientist has. It's just now that we know this backstory, it's a repurposed dialogue. I mean, initially he said, you know, forgive me for taking you home. You need someone to save us from my arrogance, my recklessness. He was just talking about, like, you're going to be an awesome superhero someday. So what's illogical is that there was an A.J. Lieberman miniseries after Infinite Crisis where it ended with there being another green Martian. And but maybe this won't be a Martian. Maybe this will just be something else that's like a Martian.
Maybe it'll be like a Martian dog.
So why did, about it. So
I was kind of surprised to see Crib in the issue.
Was that the housewife?
Isn't that Crib?
You didn't get that vibe?
Oh. I think that's what the scientist was warning John about.
It's like oh, my happy housewife. Like, oh, John's back. Let's kill my family.
She had babies. This is supposed to be saying that. Clearly that was Tomasi Pages, and I think that was supposed to be the John storyline.
I don't know who that. Like, I think it's one of those villains.
How many people have been murdered because the superhero came back and the villain was just living his life and saw it?
Yeah,
now?
Right. Like Black Manta.
Yeah, like the same storyline every issue. And what's Black Manta like? That was a little too nuts to have happened with Black Manta.
he's just like in a deli making some food.
Because initially, I mean, knowing that it's Black Manta, I was a little all right with it. But thinking of someone just reading that comic for the first time and thinking about DC's history against racism, about racism, I would have just assumed it was like, oh, it's another black guy going nuts in the middle of a fishery.
In a fishery.
He's like, that's enough, whitey. And he starts wrecking.
What, boy?
He's like, specifically, white power has come down from God to raise King Arthur back to life.
How come they're pretending to be like AKA unknown and stuff?
I think Wes is in pain.
Poor guy.
I think we've killed Wes.
Release the Kraken.
I think it's actually funny to think about the fact that all this stuff's happening in, like, Arizona, and Geoff Johns is like, this is my version of that. The White Lantern comes down and is going to, like, make sure immigrants get the fuck out of this state. Yeah. Because if they don't, they're going to turn fucking butcher. They're going to fucking kill you in the middle of this fishery.
This is the best thing. It's like, amazing, isn't it? Well, Aquaman's back. And then you see his eyes, and next page, everybody's just getting stabbed.
Blackbeard, you know, there should be some kind of, like, Photoshop thing. There should be some kind of repurposed Photoshop thing where someone takes those pages and just says, black people hate Aquaman.
Well, no, like I took the, so today I took that picture of Obama.
In a fist fucking fishery.
I took that picture of Obama fist bumping Spider-Man and, like, repurposed it to be like, terrorist fist bump. Oh, yeah.
Exactly, terrorist fist bump. Was it a terrorist fist bump? If there's terrorists that are fist bumping, I want to hang out with those dudes. Like, because that's like some A-team shit. Like, you blow up a building and you're like, yeah, boy, and fist bump. That's kind of like,
yeah, boy.
Yeah, now Geoff Johns is going to throw that in all of his comics.
If you want to find us online, you can go to thegreenlanterncorps.com. If you want to check out the blog, you can find it at glspotlight.wordpress.com. If you want to find us on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/glspotlight or find us individually at youtube.com/neildoublebane or youtube.com/ssjkuhan. You can find half the cast on Twitter at glspotlight, at consciousb, and at kuhan. And also, if you want to find Ryan, you can find him at Avenger Files. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening thing, Brain Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, check out the Roy Kirk Method, performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at www.freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
I have this magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me, it says help. What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too long.
Feel like doing this anymore.
Oh my god, shut up and do it.
God damn.
That's what she said.
I hate to agree with Kuhan, but I have to.
Hey.
So, let's remember those.
I think the guy's gonna pull the White Lantern out of the ground is gonna be the Colgate Max Fresh guy. He's gonna pull it out, he's gonna be like, aced it.